From NPR and Chicago Public Radio, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Carl Castle, and here's your host at the Cobb Energy Performing Arts Center in Atlanta, Georgia, Peter Sagal.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, I know how you feel. We are so excited to be here in Atlanta, Georgia for the first time ever. We decided, in honor of our initial visit, to enter the city in the traditional way. We were looting farms and tearing up railroad tracks as we came in from the north. Later on, Rick Sanchez of CNN will be joining us to tell us all about Southern hospitality. And then we'll set fire to the city and head on to Savannah. Come join our crusade. Give us a call. The number, 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. It's time to welcome our first listener contestant. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, this is Lindsay from Wichita, Kansas.
Hey, Lindsay, how are things in Wichita?
Cold and flat.
Yes. I wasn't going to bring that up, but now that you've mentioned it, what do you do there?
I used to teach French, and now I stay at home with my 10-month-old daughter.
Oh, that's... Are you teaching her French?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
At 10 months, has she learned any French?
She knows the keywords, like eat, diaper.
Really?
Yeah.
How do you say diaper in French?
Couche.
Couche?
That's sort of onomatopoeic, actually.
Yeah, I was about to say. I don't think she's saying that word, if you know what I mean. Well, welcome to the show, Lindsay. Let me introduce you to our panel this week. First up, a writer for the Boston Globe and author of the book Idiot America, Mr. Charlie Pierce.
Hey.
Bonjour, Lindsay.
Bonjour.
Next, the woman behind the syndicated column Ask Amy and the author of the memoir The Mighty Queens of Freeville, Ms. Amy Dickinson. Finally, a humorist and an author most recently of the book Alphabet Juice and a proud native of Decatur, Georgia, Mr. Roy Blunt, Jr.
Hey. So if couche is diaper, then couche must mean something else than I thought it did.
Lindsay, welcome to the show. Now, you're going to start us off with Who's Carl This Time. Carl Castle is going to read you three quotes from the week's news. If you can correctly identify or explain two of them, you'll win our prize, Carl Castle's voice in your home answering machine. You ready to go?
I think so.
All right, here's your first quote.
To save the planet, we must all stop washing.
That was one professor's suggestion as dignitaries from around the world flew to Copenhagen to discuss what?
Global warming.
Yes, indeed. Climate change. So all the world's leading climate scientists and activists flew to Copenhagen this week, all except Al Gore, who, having read his own press, tragically attempted to get there by walking on water from Sweden. We haven't seen him since. But the problem, as you've heard, is that there are no easy solutions to the problem. That one scientist Carl quoted pointed out, look, forget the SUVs, it's washing machines and coffee makers that are using up massive amounts of energy. And he says, if we really care about the planet, we need to start wearing dirty clothes and drink instant coffee. Seriously. To which the entire global population of liberals said, now, wait a minute. Maybe this global warming thing has been a little overblown. You know, they're like, you can take their Hummers, but not our Starbucks.
I certainly did my part to save the planet during my 4 years of college. I'll tell you that.
But you, maybe if they took his advice, can you imagine a 4-day conference of environmentalists in which no one washes?
Oh, yes.
You'd be able to smell it from Finland.
Right.
It'd be like Woodstock without the music and sex, but with lots of PowerPoint slides.
Smells.
And you'd get warnings about brown rice instead of brown
rice. Yes.
Smells like progressive spirit.
Right.
All right, very good. Here is your next quote.
Pedestrian, turgid, and uninspired.
That was diplomat extraordinaire John Bolton being rather undiplomatic about the speech President Obama made on Thursday as he accepted what?
The Nobel Peace Prize.
Exactly right. Despite his embarrassment at winning the Nobel Peace Prize when he hasn't even settled the argument between his daughters over who gets to sit up front in Air Force One, the president accepted the prize in Oslo. Because of the awkward timing, he had to explain why he was accepting the Peace Prize just weeks after escalating the, war. The president explained to the audience in Oslo that when he orders a war, it doesn't really count because deep inside he feels conflicted about it.
Yeah. You know, it's not fair to not be able to enjoy your Nobel Peace Prize, but there it is. It's sort of, when he got that prize, it was sort of like your mother coming home from school and your mother says, "Now, I know you wanted to make the baseball team, so I've invited the coach and the captain of the team over for cookies." You know, "No, I don't want that. That's not what I want. Leave me alone."
And now, pay attention, everyone, especially the men, because here's a pickup line from a guy who has apparently been using a lot of them.
"I don't want to watch golf. It's boring."
According to a young woman named Jamie Grubbs, that's how a certain individual let her know he was interested in doing something more interesting with her. Who?
Was that really Tiger Woods?
It really was. According to Miss Grubbs, speaking in Us Weekly. So it was another bad week for Tiger Woods as more and more women came forward with more and more details about his favorite hobby. Turns out, not golf. In fact, at this point, it's easier to name the people who have not slept with Tiger Woods. In fact, after some research, we are proud to present the only person we could be absolutely certain did not canoodle with Tiger Woods.
"What can I say, Peter? I'm just not into golfers."
Everybody else, I don't know.
Yeah. Also, you know what?
I'm sorry, go on.
He's a very gentle, passionate.
Also this week in Tiger Woods news, there's more. California Democrat Joe Baca said recent developments have caused him to give up trying, as he has been for several years, to award a congressional gold medal to Tiger Woods.
Oh, come on, if he hasn't earned one by now.
No. His proposed proclamation praised Woods for, quote, "his service to the nation in promoting excellence and good sportsmanship and breaking barriers with grace and dignity." But then the newspapers got a hold of the text messages Tiger sent to both Grace and Dignity. And they were like, maybe not.
Dignity was spelled with an E-E at the end.
Yeah.
And a capital T.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. This just in, the Nobel Prize Committee has just awarded Tiger Woods the Nobel for monogamy. Anticipating his achievements in that field.
Coming up. Yeah, it's going to, I'm afraid it's going to be nogamy for no gummy at all for Tiger.
Carl, how did Lindsay do in our quiz?
Lindsay, you were perfect. 3 correct answers, so I'll be doing the message on your answering machine.
Well done. Yay. Congratulations, Lindsay.
Good galore.
Thank you so much for playing, Lindsay.
Thank you. Happy holidays.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
To all the girls I've loved before, who traveled in and out my door, I'm glad they came along. I dedicate this song to all the girls I've loved before.
Right now, panel, time for you to answer some questions about this week's news. Roy, President Obama's announcement last week that he would escalate the war in Afghanistan has drawn some criticism, including from the mayor of Arlington, Tennessee. He accused the president of a secret agenda in making that announcement. What?
That he always wanted to be king of Afghanistan.
No. From the mayor's point of view, it wasn't so much what the president said, but on what night and during what time slot he said it.
Oh. He was trying to black out American Idol or something.
Right. I'll try to give you a hint.
Wah, 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 wah. Is that Charlie Brown's?
Yes, it is indeed. The mayor of Arlington, Tennessee accused the president of intentionally preempting the Charlie Brown Christmas special. The day after the speech, Mayor Russell Wiseman of Arlington wrote on his Facebook page, quote, "Okay, so this is total crap. We sit the kids down to watch the Charlie Brown Christmas special, and our Muslim president is there. Oh. What a load. Try to convince me that wasn't done on purpose. Unquote. All right, we won't, sir. We'll just smile and back away from you. Now, the mayor later apologized, saying it was a poor attempt at humor. But then again, on Thursday, he turns on the TV at 7 a.m. to see the president speaking in Oslo, and he shouts, "Now he's going after SpongeBob!"
Did you say his last name is Wiseman?
I said his last name was Wiseman, yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well,
not one of the three, I gather.
No, yeah.
Not a lot of common frankincense on him. I'm sorry, that was awful.
Myrrh.
All right, it is time for the Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me Bluff the Listener game. Call 1-888-WAIT-WAIT to play our game in the air. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi.
Hi, who's this?
This is Andromeda from Somerville, Massachusetts.
Andromeda?
Whoa.
Yes.
That's one of my favorite galaxies. That's a great name. Is that your real name?
Technically, yes.
Technically.
It's not what I started out with.
And how did you come by that name?
It's a long story.
We got nothing but time.
Yeah.
Well, welcome to the show, Andromeda. It's nice to have you with us. You're going to play the game in which you must try to tell truth from fiction. Carl, what is Andromeda's topic?
The gift that keeps on taking.
It's a season of giving. Of course, everyone is feeling generous. Yet, despite our best intentions, sometimes a gift can bring with it some complications. Our panelists are going to tell you three stories about presents that weren't ready right out of the box. Only one of them is true. Choose that true story. You'll win Carl's voice in your home answering machine. Ready to go?
Yes, I am.
First, let's hear from Charlie Pierce.
Seeking to help his hometown library capitalize on the runaway success of local author Dan Brown, archaeologist Walter Wendell sent to the Exeter County Library in Exeter, New Hampshire, an authentic papyrus page from the Gospel of Mary Magdalene, a central pivot of Brown's famous Da Vinci Code. Unfortunately, upon arrival, the curators were horrified when opening the package, the words began to fade on contact with direct sunlight. Desperate to display their new treasure, the curators negotiated the lease of a surplus F-4 fighter jet from nearby Pease Air Force Base, and they are now displaying the page in the cockpit under the tinted canopy. People climb onto the wings and view the ancient scripture out in the parking lot, reading the words of the ancient Gnostics through a piece of plastic that says, "Property of the United States Air Force." The Gnostics probably didn't have a fighter jet in mind, said Wendy Peshtigo, one of the curators. They were pretty earthbound guys.
A manuscript that has to be displayed for its own safety in the cockpit of a fighter plane. Your next story of the not-quite-perfect gift comes from Roy Blunt, Jr.
I'm not going to tell you the story until you tell me the story of how you got your name.
I'm not going to tell that story.
And then I get to decide whether it's true or not. Let's get down to business here. Jocelyn Wofford of Tampa was turning 40, and she was laid off from her guidance counselor job and laid up with a broken leg. And her husband, Travis, insisted he had to leave town on business. To make up for it, he lined up surprise presents, a home visit massage, and membership in the Fruit of the Month Club. So when the masseur arrived, the delivery guy was waiting with a box of pears. When Jocelyn hobbled to the door, there were smashed pears everywhere, and the guys were wrestling on the ground. Turned out, small world, they were both seeing the same local woman. Jocelyn's counseling instincts came out. She brought the guys in to talk things through, which they did. And the massage guy admitted that the fruit guy was probably right for the girl. So they invited her over. And they all sang happy birthday to Jocelyn and drank some wine and had massages and ate the rest of the pears and stayed the night. And there was more fruit in the truck, so they stayed another night. And Jocelyn and the massage guy decided that they were right for each other. And they were all four crying. They were so happy. And that's when Travis came home. All this came out in divorce court this week. If only I had given her just the massage or just the fruit, said Travis.
A birthday present in Tampa causes some complications. Your last story of a present that presented problems comes from Amy Dickinson.
When the police department in Helena, Montana first got Mikey, their bomb-sniffing dog, as a gift from Israel, they thought the dog was depressed. He was uncooperative. He wouldn't sniff or schmooze with his handler, Officer John Foskett. Basically, Mikey did bupkis. Well, turns out that the dog, Mikey, could only understand commands in Hebrew. So the cop got Hebrew language tapes. He tried flashcards. Maybe he even tried out some Yiddish phrases that he picked up from Rhoda. But nothing worked. The officer was verklempt. Well, they are three Jews short of a minion in Montana, but fortunately, one of them is a Hasidic rabbi, Chaim Brook. And the rabbi is dealing with this mishigas by helping a Montana cop talk Hebrew to his dog. And now, no more plotzing. Mikey has started sniffing again. He really is a kelev tov, which means good dog in Hebrew.
All right. Here are your stories from Charlie Pierce, a manuscript which for its own safety has to be displayed inside a fighter cockpit. From Roy Blunt Jr., well, let's just say a complicated story of a birthday present in Tampa, Florida. And your last story of a present came from Amy Dickinson. It was the bomb-sniffing dog in Montana that could only speak Hebrew. Which of these was the real story in the week's news?
How about the Hebrew dog?
The Hebrew dog. That's the one that calls out to you?
Arf.
They're liking it here. All right, your choice then is Amy's story of the Hebrew-speaking dog. Well, we actually spoke to the person who received this gift.
With the assistance of Rabbi Chaim, I was able to learn a few Hebrew commands. Arsa, which means sit. Haisheir, which means stay. And ma, which means what.
That was Mikey's handler, Sergeant John Foskett of the Helena, Montana Police Department, talking about the Hebrew he has learned to communicate with his bomb-sniffing dog. Congratulations, Andromeda.
Thank you.
You got it right. You're into point for Amy Dickinson. You've won our prize. Carl Castle will record the greeting on your home answering machine. Thank you so much for playing with us today.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
And now the game where we invite on accomplished people and ask them to accomplish something else. It's called Not My Job. CNN's Rick Sanchez was Twittering before Twitter was cool. Okay, wait, it's still not cool. But
wait a minute.
There's not an anchor in news more plugged into social media than Rick Sanchez. He anchors the CNN newsroom every afternoon right here in Atlanta. We're so happy to have him here. Rick Sanchez, welcome to Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
It is great to be here.
Right. It's great to have you. Now, let's talk about your gig on CNN, because we all know cable news is about personalities. CNN personalities have trademarks. Anderson Cooper is the silver fox. Wolf Blitzer has the beard. Larry King is a centenarian womanizer. Lou Dobbs was a crazy man off his meds. What is your gig? Who are you, Rick Sanchez?
I dated Tiger Woods.
There you are. Was that more or less fun than being tasered?
I'm not telling. Well, you know, the tasering thing is an interesting story.
Well, this got you some press. You decided in pursuit of journalistic knowledge, you would have yourself tased.
There was a fella in Atlanta who broke out of prison one day.
Yeah.
And he was being transferred, actually, in a jail downtown.
Yeah.
And this very diminutive woman was walking with him, and she had her gun all but unholstered. He took the gun away from her, beat her up, and this is a horrible
thing. It was a terrible
thing.
Story, yeah. Okay.
And he got away. So I asked myself, how is it possible that in this day and age, an inmate can be walking around and is able to take a gun, unholstered gun from a guard? So I went down to one of the best police academies in the country in South Florida, and I asked them, what should they have done? The first thing they said is they should never have had a gun in a jail. They should have had a taser instead. We're all trained with tasers. Would you like to be trained? I said, what does it entail? They said, everyone who leaves the academy has to be tased here at least once. Would you like to try it?
Are you sure he wasn't saying hazed?
Sorry. Or praised. Could they have been offering praise and you misheard?
Or teased.
Yes.
I got tased. They said, you know, it's one time, and suddenly they did it. 50,000 watts of electricity shooting through my body.
So wait a minute.
It hurt.
They said, would you like to be tased? And then they tased you, and you were thinking, wait a minute.
Yeah. Well, the camera was running, so we went ahead and did it, and we included it in our report. But John Stewart and a lot of folks have made it sound like I just one day wanted to just get tased for the hell of it. And nothing could be further from the truth, folks. In fact, I would recommend against it.
You're having done it. So you were actually born in Cuba, right? Not in the United States.
Yes.
The only, as far as I know, if you don't count Canada, the only major American news anchor to be born speaking another language.
Which is really cool because my parents get to watch me on TV and don't know what the hell I'm saying.
Right. And you were actually on Univision, right?
I was. I had a radio show.
What was it called?
El Show de Rick Sanchez.
El show?
El show.
Is that Spanish for show?
No, that's Spanglish. There's a difference.
Okay. And what was El show con Rick Sanchez all about?
It was basically me talking about anything, political topics, you name it, whatever was happening on any given day.
Right. So how?
It's a good show.
So does your show on CNN have a similar name?
No, it's just the newsroom at 3 o'clock.
That's it. Yeah. Now, one of the things...
Can't win them all.
Let's talk a little bit about cable news. You were actually part, if I'm not mistaken, you helped anchor one of the stories that was both the great thing about cable news and the awful thing about cable news this year. I'm referring, of course, to the Balloon Boy.
Mm-hmm.
If I remember, you were on the air live. With
yeah,
the
it happened during my shift.
Exactly.
By yeah.
So, I mean, on the one hand, everybody's like, oh, my God, look at cable news. They're like animals with shiny objects staring at this thing. On the other hand, everybody was watching it.
Yeah, and it looked like a giant Jiffy Pop thing, I know.
So you're there. Here's Balloon Boy, or the balloon. We know there was no boy in it now. Floating across Colorado.
Uh-huh.
You don't know what's going to happen. Do you ever come a moment where you're like, I have nothing more to say about this phenomenon? Neither does the person I'm talking to.
Well, when you get down to it looked like a giant Jiffy Pop. Nothing after that.
Have you ever found yourself in one of those moments going, I got nothing, people?
No, this is cable news. There's always another pundit to talk to.
Really?
Oh,
trust me. We have a housewife who's made Jiffy Pop recently.
David Gergen, you left a balloon out loose on a White House lawn one day during the Eisenhower administration.
Oh, the beauty of cable news. There's always someone to talk to, Peter.
You have a banker talking about a balloon mortgage. Can we have, you know, somebody?
There's a connection here somewhere.
Now, I'm not going to be like John Stewart and go on and on about your tasering. I instead want to talk about your waterboarding.
Oh, yes.
You were waterboarded. In addition, you were submerged in a car underwater.
Yeah, that's what I was. I was never waterboarded. I grew up in South Florida, and in South Florida, it's something that happens all the time.
Waterboarding?
No.
Well, now.
I knew those guys were tough.
Yeah.
No, well, that's south of Florida.
South of Guantanamo, yeah. Exactly. We have lots of canals, and people are constantly driving their cars into canals, either through force majeure or because they had too much to drink or whatever. So we decided one day, Anderson Cooper actually had made the suggestion that I should go out and do 5 stories, one each day of the week, on stuff that happens to people. And I think Anderson was actually trying to get rid of me.
I was about to say. You see me at an editorial meeting, and Anderson says, you know, I think somebody should be submerged in a car. Let's see if he can get out. Sanchez. Sounds like a gig you could do.
Yeah. That sounds like Anderson. No, he's a great guy, and we're great friends. But I thought it was a fun series.
Sorry. Except for the fact he's trying to kill you. He's a great guy.
And Larry's a ball.
Oh, man, I know.
And Wolf. Oh, that Wolf. But I literally went into a car and let the car go underwater, and then I was trained and taught how to get out of that car when you're in that situation.
Right.
And I would never do it again because I almost died.
So, Rick, wait. Tasering the car under the water.
Yes, ma'am.
Do you know how to take a hint?
I'm still here, though.
Well, really? That's true.
He shows up at the anchor desk soaking wet, saying they've... Anderson failed again. So.
Rick, if they offer you the 2-part in-depth series on the death penalty, turn it down.
Rick Sanchez, we have asked you here to play a game that today we're calling...
Queen Victoria could have tweeted, but chose not to.
You are an expert, as we have said, in the new social media. So we thought we'd ask you questions about really old social media, namely the telegraph. Answer three questions inspired by the book The Victorian Internet by Tom Standage, and you will win our prize for one of our listeners, Carl Castle's voice on their home answering machine. So, Carl, who is CNN's Rick Sanchez playing for?
Rick is playing for Bob Beislein of Lilburn, Georgia.
All right. Ready to play? Here we go. Now, the first device that was called a telegraph didn't use wires at all, but it was a chain of signal towers, each of which incited the next. Napoleonic France had an extensive system of these, but Napoleon would only allow it to be used for what non-military purpose? A, transmitting winning lottery numbers. B, reports of his, Napoleon's, latest fashion choices. Or C, procuring him dates.
C.
You're going to go for C, procuring him dates. They called it le tigale back in those days. So in other words...
You should ask Larry King. I think he was there.
Yeah.
Austerlitz, you're on. Hello.
I think he ran with Napoleon.
Yeah.
All right, your choice was procuring him dates. Sadly, it was A, the lottery numbers.
Really?
Yeah, they wanted to prevent cheating. If they sent the lottery numbers out, nobody could pretend to have purchased it beforehand. His advisors suggested to Napoleon that they might use it to transmit stock prices, but the emperor thought that was ridiculous. Who would ever want to know that?
Wow.
All right, you still have two more chances.
I can see him on the retreat from Moscow. Whoa, it's really bad, but I just won 150 francs. Wow.
Here is your next question. You can still get this. Two more right. Even after the telegraph became widespread in the middle of the 19th century, it was hard for many people to understand exactly how it worked. According to a possibly apocryphal story, in 1870, a woman tried to send what by telegraph? A, herself. B, a plate of sauerkraut. Or C, a bomb. I'm going to give you a hint. This happened in Poland.
In that case, herself.
Yeah, I was just going to go there. Roy, thanks for that, but I'm going to go with the sauerkraut.
You're right, sauerkraut. The story is that this concerned mother walked into a telegraph office in Poland. She wanted to send some sauerkraut to her son, who was off fighting in the Franco-Prussian War.
Mm-hmm.
And they said to her, well, you can't send sauerkraut by telegraph. It's not how it works. She said, well, I understand that the troops were sent by telegraph, so...
Mm-hmm.
See? All right, this is good. One right with one to go. Here's your last question. Get this right, you win. The first transatlantic cable was laid in 1858, and for the first month of its existence, most of the messages sent over its 2,000-mile length were which of these? A, quote, so what do you look like? B, quote, nothing happening here. How about there? Or C, quote, did you get this message?
Did you get this message?
Is that your choice?
It would have to be that.
And it was. You're right.
There you go.
The first transatlantic cable was so poorly designed it hardly worked and ceased to function entirely after a month. An investigation into the fiasco showed that most of the messages sent while it did work were operators desperately trying to hear each other. Carl, did Rick Sanchez do well enough to win?
He had two correct answers, Peter, and that's enough to win for Bob Beislein.
Well done. Congratulations. Rick Sanchez is the host of CNN News at 3 o'clock Eastern every weekday. CNN's Rick Sanchez, thank you so much for joining us on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Thank you.
Thanks, Carl. In just a minute, Carl is framed for a rhyme he did not commit in our listener limerick challenge. If you'd like to play, give us a call at 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. Right now, panel, some more questions for you from the week's news. Amy, a new prototype toy has just won the Innovative and Creative Applications Award for 2009. It's a modified Fisher-Price activity center that allows toddlers to do what?
Does it involve a forklift, driving something? Toddler chainsaw.
That would be fun.
It's the Fisher Price chainsaw. No.
No. It's strange to allow toddlers to do this because they can't even count to 140 characters yet.
Oh, tweeting?
Yes. It allows toddlers to tweet. Ashton Kutcher, John Mayer, John Boehner. Toddlers are just the latest barely verbal humans to take up Twitter. With a new invention called... And this is what it's called, the twaddler. it translates basic baby activities into Twitter messages. Mm. So say your baby's hanging out, in the living room, and it goes up to the twaddler and plays with the attached picture of you for over 3 minutes. It transmits a message like, "At mom, I miss you," for example. Still in prototype, but in the baby test group, some of the top trending topics, little hashtags, they were pooped my pants, breastfeeding rules, and is Tiger Woods my dad?
Oh, God. Nini na 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 noo.
Oh,
he did his first tweet.
Wow. Roy.
In the tweet.
Roy, last week, a Tennessee man was dismayed to find out his homeowner's insurance didn't cover damage caused by what?
His home attacking other people.
No.
It doesn't cover something involving an animal. What if I ask?
Yeah, in fact.
Oh, doesn't cover elephant.
No.
No. Cow?
Yes.
Cow. Doesn't cover, what do cows do? They would come into your house and relieve themselves.
No, not that.
No, they won't. Yes, they would.
I think just to end this, I'm just going to give it to you.
Okay.
Apparently, they wouldn't cover the damage caused by the cows licking his house.
Oh. Huh.
Cows that live next door to Jerry Lynn Davis in Rogersville, Tennessee, were determined to find out how many licks it takes to get to the center of his home.
Wow.
Davis called the sheriff after the cows licked off his screen. They cracked the glass, and then they licked the gutter clean off. And it turns out his homeowner's insurance refused to cover acts of cow.
It actually makes cows sound sort of menacing. Mm. Pretty.
It does sound like one of those horror movies. Night of the Cow. They're licking the house!
We have only 2 hours to escape.
There's a cow licking your house, and it's coming from inside.
But he's on the upstairs phone.
Charlie, as you know, states have mottos. They've got state mottos, they've got state birds, they've got state flowers. Now politicians in Wisconsin have drafted a bill to establish a state what?
Cholesterol count.
No.
God, let's start running down. A state beer would be much too controversial.
Absolutely.
So I wouldn't do that. A state sausage.
No. Although there would be an obvious choice.
Yeah. A state... I know the bird. I don't know the model, but I used to know the motto. It's the only state motto with a burp in the middle of it. I'm going to need a hint on this one, Peter, I'm afraid.
Well, sadly, right before the ceremony, naming it, it was almost wiped out by hand sanitizer.
It's got a hate germ?
It's yes, state it's germ? A state microbe.
Huh. What, E. coli?
No. The Wisconsin state animal, of course, is the badger. The state dance is the polka. Soon to be state microbe of Wisconsin, Lactococcus lactis.
Mm. Boy, that thing must have had a hell of a lobby.
Yeah. Wisconsin is, of course, America's dairyland, and this bacteria the starter culture for turning milk into cheese.
Huh.
And by proxy, turning normal humans into enormous Midwesterners. In an interview, Lactococcus lactis thanked the state legislature but said it seemed premature to give it the honor before it had actually made any cheese. Of course, Wisconsin was following New Jersey's lead. New Jersey, the first state to name a state microbe, in that case, chlamydia. Coming up, it's Lightning Fill in the Blank, but first it's the game where you have to listen for the rhyme. If you'd like to play on air, call or leave a message at 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924, or click the Contact Us link at waitwait.npr.org. You can also go there to find out about attending our weekly live shows back at the Chase Auditorium in Chicago, and also our March show in New Orleans, Louisiana. Tickets for that one go on sale December 17th. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, this is Rick Genter from Cupertino, California.
Cupertino, California, famous town there in the peninsula, home to Apple, yes?
That's correct.
Now, what do you do there?
I'm a software engineer.
There you are. That's not surprising. Mm-hmm. Do you work for the great benevolent Borg that is Apple?
I do not, although I am a Mac.
You, I see. Rick, welcome to the show. Now, Carl Castle is going to read you three news-related limericks with the last word or phrase missing from each. If you can fill in that last word or phrase correctly, and two of the limericks will be a winner. Ready to go?
I hope so.
Here's your first limerick.
Is patience a virtuous trait? 'Cause I snap when things happen too late. I reach outer limits at 8 or so minutes. That's how long I'm willing to
wait.
Right. A new study in Britain has solved one of the secrets of the universe. People can wait an average of 8 minutes and 22 seconds before becoming overwhelmed with rage. We presume this is how you conduct a test. You give a guy a telephone, you put him on hold. You give him a stopwatch. You start it, and you give him a hammer. When he smashes the stopwatch to pieces, there's your tongue. Very good. Here is your next limit.
In the dumping grounds of old-time mobsters, a waterbred supersized blob stirs. Oh, man, I've got dibs on shell crackers and bibs for eating those humongous
lobsters.
Right. Hey, bright side, a silver lining to global warming and our imminent destruction. Global warming may have a wonderful new side effect, giant supersized lobsters. According to a study at the University of North Carolina, global warming creates more acidic oceans, which causes lobsters, crabs, and shrimp to beef up like the Incredible Hulk after he's been on hold for more than 8 minutes, 22 seconds. So, yum! While we're all visiting the island resort in Illinois, we'll have tropical lobsters.
If the shrimps get too big, do we have to call them something else?
Okay. Good point. Here is your last limerick.
My blowhole spurts, I slap my tail. Then I dive and I sing a quick scale. My notes go real deep. It's a 6-octave sweep. It's the low notes that mark today's
whale.
Right. A group called Whale Acoustics recorded samples of some 10,000 whales and found that their songs were in some cases 30% lower in tone than previously recorded. No one knows exactly why this is happening. So we did some investigating, and the difference is actually quite noticeable. Here, you can hear for yourself. Here's the sound of a whale that was recorded 15 years ago. And here, by contrast, is one of the current recordings.
We've definitely got our thing.
It all changed when they taught the dolphins how to play the bass.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I think those two whales had different things on their mind.
Okay. Carl, how did Rick do in our show?
3 correct answers, Peter, and that makes Rick a winner.
Excellent. Congratulations. Well done. Thanks so much for playing.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Could have made two. You're all I'm living for. Your love I'll keep forevermore. You're the first, you're the last, my everything.
Now on to our final game, Lightning Fill in the Blank. Each of our players will have 60 seconds in which to answer as many fill in the blank questions as he or she can. Each correct answer now worth 2 points. Carl, can you give us the scores?
We have a tie for first place, Peter. Roy Blunt Jr. and Amy Dickinson each has 3 points. Charlie Pierce has 2.
All right. Charlie, you're in third place. You're up first. The clock will start when I begin your first question. Fill in the blank. Five Americans suspected of planning terrorist attacks were arrested this week in blank.
Pakistan.
Right. President Obama urged Congress to use unspent money from the bank bailout program to create new blanks.
Jobs.
Right. South Carolina lawmakers voted this week to censure but not impeach blank.
Mark Sanford.
Right. As part of a new policy, top executives at blank will not receive their annual $1 million bonuses in cash.
Goldman?
Yes, Goldman Sachs. It was revealed that the number one write-in vote-getter in the recent mayoral election in New York City was blank.
Trigger.
No, Montgomery Burns from The Simpsons. Scientists announced that they have discovered a new star in the famous constellation, the blank.
The Big Dipper.
Right. On Thursday, ABC announced that George Stephanopoulos would be taking blank's place on Good Morning America.
Diane Sawyer.
Right. In the middle of a blowout game against the Chicago Bulls, the point guard for the Toronto Raptors dribbled to half court, held the basketball, and blanked.
Sang a cheery tune.
No. He tied his shoe.
Excellent.
Huge lead in the third quarter. Toronto guard Jared Jack takes a moment to retie his sneakers. Instead of going for the ball, which was just sitting there under his arm, the Bulls waited patiently, even offering Jack the use of the team's shoehorn. So that's in the middle of a game against the Bulls last month, LeBron James was given a technical for updating his Netflix queue. Carl, how did Charlie do in our quiz?
Charlie had 6 correct answers for 12 more points. He now has 14 points, and Charlie has the lead.
Well done.
Wow.
All right. We flipped a coin. Amy is elected to go second. Here we go, fill in the blank. After a wave of attacks, Defense Secretary Robert Gates traveled to blank.
Iraq.
Right. Wisconsin declared a state of emergency after a massive blank hit the Midwest this week.
A blizzard.
Yes. 5 people at the Transportation Security Administration were put on administrative leave after confidential airport screening documents were blanked.
Put on the internet.
Right. After being hit with claims that they were unsafe, the season's hottest toy blank was cleared by the Consumer Products Safety Commission.
That little hamster.
Right, the Juju Pets. A trucker in China was ticketed after replacing his broken windshield with a blank.
A gigantic women's bra.
No, a sheet of cardboard. Hard to see through. Bruce Springsteen and Mel Brooks were honored at this year's blank.
Grammy?
No, Kennedy Center Honors. Anti-domestic violence advocates criticized Saturday Night Live for a sketch about the recent troubles of blank.
Tiger Woods.
Right. After pulling over the Oscar Mayer Wienermobile this week for a taillight violation, Pennsylvania cops let it go because blank.
They pulled it over for a taillight violation, but they let it go. Was there bribery involved? Were there hot dogs involved?
No. They let it go because they said ticketing it would be un-American.
Aww. Yeah.
Sure, the Wienermobile was driving around with a broken taillight, but according to the police officer who pulled it over, it's un-American to ticket the Oscar Mayer Wienermobile.
Oh.
Which is lucky, because when asked for identification, all the driver could say was, my baloney has a first name. It's O-S-C-A-R. Carl, how did Amy do in our quiz?
Amy had 5 correct answers for 10 more points. She now has 13 points, but Charlie still has the lead with 14.
Right. So how many, then, does Roy need to get right to take it away from Charlie?
6 correct answers.
All right. This is for the game, Roy. Here we go. Fill in the blank. On Wednesday, Democrats tentatively agreed about a health care compromise that does away with the blank.
The public option.
Right. Senator Max Baucus came under fire for nominating his blank to be a federal prosecutor.
Girlfriend.
Right. The Environmental Protection Agency warned this week that blanks pose a threat to human health.
Sugars.
Greenhouse gases, like carbon dioxide. After 54 years in the air, CBS announced it was canceling the soap opera blank.
As the world turned.
Right. A German tourist was caught by customs officials trying to leave New Zealand with blank.
With sausages.
No, with 43 geckos and skinks in his underpants. A House committee voted to subpoena the blanks to force them to testify about crashing the White House dinner party.
The White House dinner party crashers.
Whose names are?
I don't remember those people's names. They want me to remember their names.
The Salahis.
Salahis.
The number one person on Barbara Walters' 10 Most Fascinating People of 2009 special was blank.
The wife of Mark Sanford.
No, Michelle Obama.
Oh.
To prevent the spread of swine flu, a movie theater in Britain has asked patrons not to blank.
Not to bring their pigs in with them.
No. Not to kiss the cardboard cutout of Robert Pattinson.
Oops, too late.
After their hunky cutout of Edward in the Twilight movies was mobbed by overly amorous teenage girls, The Real Cinemas chain put up a sign saying, quote, please help reduce the spread of germs by refraining from giving Edward or any other character for that matter a kiss or hug, unquote. Carl, did Roy do well enough to win?
Carl always gets the easy question. I can answer that.
Roy needed at least 6 correct answers to win, but Roy had just 3. So Ooh. With 14 points, Charlie Pierce is this week's champion.
Well done, Charlie.
I'm going to stop and tie my shoe now.
In just a minute, we'll ask our panelists what new solution for climate change will come out of the climate summit in Copenhagen. But first, let me tell you that support for NPR comes from NPR stations and CSX, working to reduce traffic and pollution while moving 750,000 tons of freight daily. CSX, how tomorrow moves. The U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Medicare open enrollment ends December 31st. More at Medicare.gov or 1-800-MEDICARE. And Mini, featuring the 37 miles per gallon Mini Cooper with go-kart handling. Learn more at MiniUSA.com/info. Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me is a production of NPR, Chicago Public Radio, in association with Urgent Haircut Productions. Doug Berman, executive producer. Philip Goedeke writes our limericks. Our intern is Ashley Rayfeld. Our web guru is Beth Novi. Special thanks to John Weatherford and Rennie Lindsay at WABE in Atlanta, and Michael Taramina, Kirill Gabalev, and Carol Willis at the Cobb Energy Center. BJ Litterman composed our theme. Our program is produced by Ian Chillog, Eva Walchover, and Emily Eckling. Technical direction from Robert Newhouse and Lorna White with Andy Rosenberg. And thanks to Mike Cronin and the crew at the Cobb Energy Center. The senior producer of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me is Mike Danforth. Now, panel, what climate solution will we hear from the summit in Copenhagen? Roy Blunt, Jr.
They're going to change the name to swine global warming, so it will turn out to be not as bad as it sounds.
Amy Dickinson.
Scientists will plug the hole in the ozone with Tiger Woods mistresses.
There will be enough. Charlie Pierce.
In the interest of fairness and free scientific inquiry, the gathering resolved hereafter that any delegation of climate change denialists should be allowed to present their case to a panel made up entirely of polar bears.
Well, if any of those things come out of Copenhagen panel, we'll be asking you about it on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Thank you, Carl Castle. Thanks also to Charlie Pierce, Amy Dickinson, Roy Blunt Jr. Thanks to the crowd here at the Cobb Energy Performing Arts Center in Atlanta. Thanks to all of you for listening. I am Peter Sagal. We will see you next week. This is NPR, National Public Radio.